Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take some fascinating sources and, well, really pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge and insight, just for you. Today, we're plunging into something truly groundbreaking. We're looking at how sound, when personalized by AI, can actually help tune your mind and body back to its natural rhythms. Seriously, we're talking biohacking your performance, maybe even enhancing longevity, cultivating genuine human flourishing, all through these really intricately designed audio environments. Our mission today is to unpack this incredible research by Prem Sanjeet, who also goes by Peter Savick from the State On Demand R&D Lab. We're focusing on his big paper, How Personalized AI-Driven Audio Environments Can Tune Us Back to Our Natural Rhythms. Okay, let's dive in. I know for me and probably for many of you listening, our world today often feels like just a constant barrage, right? Notifications, schedules, noise. It's so easy to feel like we're constantly out of sync, fighting against our own natural rhythms. Does that sound familiar? That chronic stress, maybe poor sleep, or just that struggle to really focus. Sometimes it feels like that's just the modern condition, isn't it? And reading through Prem Sanjeet's paper, that feeling, that kind of profound disconnect from our own biology, it really resonated.
It did, and that's exactly the challenge we're trying to tackle with the research at the State On Demand R&D Lab. I mean, think about it. For millennia, human physiology evolved in this beautiful synchrony with the planet's natural cycles. You know, the sunrise, the sounds of nature, the whole day-night rhythm. But just like you said, this modern urban cacophony, the digital demands, the artificial light, it's created this pervasive disconnect, a real gap. And that leads to widespread dysregulation, problems with sleep-wake cycles, higher stress, cognitive issues, just feeling off, out of sync. Mm-hmm. So what's fascinating here, and what Prem Sanjeet really lays out in the paper, is this radical shift in perspective. It's about reframing sound, moving it from just being this passive background noise, often distracting, to being an active, therapeutic, and deeply personalized intervention. We're using sound intentionally, scientifically, as a tool to guide your psychophysiological states back into alignment, leveraging a really comprehensive scientific framework for this.
Wow. So it's way beyond just, you know, putting on a relaxing playlist.
Yeah.
This is much more precise. Scientific, even. Yeah. Almost like auditory medicine. That's a good way to put it.
As I was reading the paper, it felt like it was suggesting something as fundamental as sound could become, this kind of non-invasive neural interface, something that allows us to consciously cultivate, even manage, our own internal states. It feels like it's bridging ancient wisdom with really cutting-edge AI, proposing maybe the next chapter in how humans use sound to shape consciousness.
That's precisely the vision. Ancient roots, modern tools, future potential.
Okay, before we really get into the how of this state-on-demand system, I think it's important for us as listeners sort of exploring this paper with us to understand the foundational why. How does sound even begin to influence us so deeply? Our state of being, our physiology. It's clearly more complex than just hitting play on some music, isn't it? The paper digs deep here. Oh, absolutely. It's fundamental to grasp this first. The journey really begins with psychoacoustics. That's the scientific field dedicated to understanding this incredibly intricate relationship between physical sound stimuli, the actual sound waves, and the psychological and physiological sensations they evoke in us. Think of it like this amazing journey your brain takes. A sound wave, just a vibration in the air, right? It enters your ear, gets funneled down, makes your eardrum vibrate. These mechanical vibrations then get cleverly converted into electrical signals inside your cochlea, that little spiral thing in your inner ear. But here's the key. These signals don't just stop at the auditory cortex where you sort of recognize the sound. No, they travel much further, much deeper. They go to really crucial brain regions like the limbic system, which is ancient, evolutionarily speaking. It's the seat of our emotions, our memory.
That's why a song can just instantly take you back, right?
No.
Change your mood.
Exactly. And these signals also reach the prefrontal cortex. That's where your higher level thinking happens. Interpretation, decision making, focus. So this whole complex network, this ear-brain connection, is the fundamental basis for how sound directly impacts way more than just what you hear. It affects your brainwave activity, the delicate balance of neurochemicals, even your autonomic nervous system, you know, fight or flight versus rest and digest. And our framework at State On Demand, it hinges on understanding and crucially, precisely manipulating this pathway to guide your internal state.
That's a really profound way to think about it. Sound isn't just passively received. Our brains are actively translating it into this whole cascade of internal changes. And the paper talks a lot about neural oscillations, brainwaves. Could you unpack that for us? Why are they so central to how you actually design these soundscapes?
Certainly. They are absolutely central. Your brain's activity, it isn't just random static or noise. It's more like this beautifully organized symphony of rhythmic electrical patterns. We call these neural oscillations, or more commonly, brain waves. And these brain waves, they fall into distinct frequency bands. Crucially, each band is correlated with different states of consciousness, different cognitive functions. Understanding these is foundational for us. We define and target them very meticulously in the framework. Let's break them down. First, you have delta waves. They're the slowest, deepest rhythms, typically 0.5 to 4 hertz. Think deep, dreamless sleep. Profound physical restoration happens here. Cellular repair, really crucial for longevity regeneration.
Okay, the really deep sleep stuff.
Exactly. Then come theta waves, running from 4 to 8 hertz. These are linked to lighter sleep, but also deep relaxation, meditation, even heightened creativity. That sort of twilight state, you know? A gateway to the subconscious where intuition can really flourish.
Right, like when you're half awake, half asleep.
Precisely that zone. Then we move up to alpha waves, resonating from 8 to 12 hertz. These are the signature of restful wakefulness, calm alertness. Passive attention. This is often the state people aim for in light meditation. To reduce anxiety, find that sense of calm balance. Your mind is clear, but not working hard.
It sounds like a nice place to be.
It is. Then you've got beta waves spanning about 12 to 30 hertz. This is your everyday active thinking brain. Focus, problem solving, general alertness, handling tasks, processing the world around you.
Okay, the get stuff done waves.
Pretty much. And finally, gamma waves. These are the fastest, over 30 hertz. They're correlated with high-level cognitive processing, peak performance, intense focus, those moments of dish insight or aha, when different parts of your brain are really firing together on a complex task.
Wow, it's amazing how specific these frequencies are to what we're experiencing internally. So if these are the brain's languages, how does your system actually get the brain to speak a particular language, to shift, say, from that busy beta state down to a calmer alpha state? This, as your paper suggests, is where it gets really interesting.
Exactly. And this brings us right to the core mechanism, the foundational principle for modulating your state through sound. It's called brainwave entrainment. It's this remarkable, quite natural phenomenon where your brain's own rhythmic electrical activity. It naturally synchronizes with an external rhythmic stimulus.
Like tuning forks. If you hit one, the other starts vibrating too.
That's a perfect analogy. Your brain does something very similar with rhythm. So by presenting your brain with a consistent, very precisely calibrated auditory rhythm, we can gently, non-invasively, encourage a shift. Nudge it from one dominant brainwave pattern towards another. So, for example, if you're feeling anxious, likely in a high-frequency beta state, we can use specific sound patterns to gently guide your brain towards that calmer, lower-frequency alpha state. But, and this is critical, the effectiveness, the efficacy of this mechanism, it absolutely hinges on the precise calibration. The sound's frequency, its rhythm, its timbre, even its amplitude, it all matters. It's not just any sound. It's a meticulously designed input signal. You can think of your brain as this incredibly sophisticated rhythmic organ. And sound, when engineered correctly, acts like a programmable input. It can gently nudge the brain into a desired operational state. Our multiparametric design, which we'll get into, it's basically a highly sophisticated syntax for programming these desired brain states. It goes way beyond just generic relaxing sounds.
That makes so much sense. So we're essentially speaking the brain's native language frequency and rhythm to subtly influence how it's operating, which really confirms, yeah, this is much more than just a playlist. It truly is like a non-invasive neural interface. And your paper details specific tools for this. Could you walk us through the three main engineered techniques you use for this precise entrainment? What are they and how do they work within your research?
Sure. To achieve this precise entrainment, our research primarily uses three main engineered psychoacoustic techniques. Each has its own specific mechanism and applications. First, we have binaural beats. These are fascinating. It's an auditory illusion, really. You perceive it when two slightly different pure tone frequencies are presented separately to each ear. Usually this requires headphones. So imagine 400 hertz in your left ear, 404 hertz in your right ear. Your brain doesn't just hear two tones. It cleverly calculates the difference and perceives a third phantom beat pulsing at that difference frequency, in this case, 4 hertz.
4 hertz, that falls into the theta range, right, for relaxation.
Exactly. So your brain itself creates this 4 hertz rhythm, and it's that difference frequency, the beat, that we use to gently guide brainwave activity towards the target state, like theta. It's quite effective because it seems to work at a subcortical level, influencing brain networks quite directly.
Okay, that's binaural beats. What's next?
Second are isochronic tones. These are different. They're single tones that are rapidly turned on and off, creating a very distinct, sharp, rhythmic pulse. Unlike binaural beats, isochronic tones don't need headphones because the pulsing rhythm is physically in the sound wave itself. It's not an illusion created by the brain processing two inputs. This means they can deliver a very direct, sometimes quite potent, stimulus to the brain. That sharp on-off pulsation provides a very clear rhythmic driver for entrainment. Some people find them more noticeable, maybe more direct in their effect, and they're useful when headphones aren't practical.
Okay, so more direct pulsing. And the third one?
The third is monaural beats. These happen when two slightly different tones are actually combined before they reach your ear, and then that combined sound is played into both ears simultaneously, maybe through speakers. Because the tones are physically mixed, they create a physical pulsation or beating in the sound wave itself. It's somewhat similar to isochronic tones, but often feels a bit smoother, more like a continuous wave-like sensation rather than sharp pulses. And this physical pulsation is what the brain perceives and entrains to. Interestingly, monaural beats have a really long history in meditative traditions. You can hear similar effects in instruments like Tibetan singing bowls. They physically produce these kinds of pulsations when played correctly. They offer a strong, direct entrainment signal.
Wow, so you have these three distinct tools, binaural, isochronic, monaural, to work with.
That's right. And we carefully integrate these into our soundscapes, sometimes even combining them, depending on the specific state we're targeting, the desired intensity, and even considering potential user preference. The choice is very deliberate.
It's just mind-blowing how modern science is pinpointing these very specific mechanisms. But as I was reading the paper, what really jumped out was this idea that ancient cultures, well, they weren't just stumbling around in the dark. They might have been onto something remarkably similar for thousands of years. Can you draw that connection for us? Especially thinking about Vedic mantras. It seems like this isn't entirely new knowledge, maybe more like rediscovered and refined knowledge.
You've absolutely hit on a profoundly important point there. And it's a connection we really emphasize in our research and in the paper. The whole principle of using rhythmic auditory stimuli to consciously modulate your state. It's not a modern invention at all. It has incredibly deep historical roots. For millennia, various spiritual traditions, especially in India, have used Vedic mantras. These are carefully structured sound vibrations, usually in Sanskrit, and they were used as potent tools for harmonizing the body, the mind, the spirit. They weren't just religious recitations. They were, and still are, powerful vibrational tools, specifically designed, you could argue, to influence brain waves, emotions, physiology. They represent a direct ancient precedent for the kind of psychoacoustic work we're doing now.
So, like ancient sound engineering for consciousness?
In a way, yes. Let's look at two really powerful examples that show fascinating parallels with our engineered soundscapes. First, there's the Soham Hum Sa mantra. It's often called the breath's own rhythm. This represents a profound form of endogenous rhythmic entrainment, meaning it's linked to your body's own natural rhythm, your breath, rather than an external sound. The words Soham Hum Sa translate roughly to I am he or I am that, identifying the individual self with the universal consciousness. But the practice itself is subtle. The sound so is naturally produced with inhalation and hum with exhalation, often unvocalized, just observed. This makes it an ajapa japa, a chantless chant, a natural meditation happening constantly. For an average person, this breath cycle is about 15 times a minute. By simply paying attention to this innate process, you engage a powerful self-regulating mechanism. It calms the mind, improves focus, reduces stress, even enhances blood circulation. There's even an intriguing theory linking slower breathing rates to longer lifespans across species. Practices like Soham Hum Sa Pranayama, consciously slowing the breath, are thought to promote longevity by optimizing cellular processes.
So our deep relaxation soundscapes, their slow tempos, are kind of mirroring that effect.
Precisely. They're designed to replicate and amplify that physiological mechanism, guiding you towards similar states of calm and restoration.
Okay, that's Soham Hum Sa. What about UM? That's probably the most famous one.
Right. OM or AUM, often called the primordial sound of creation. And this one has actually been the subject of quite a bit of modern neuroscientific research, which is validating what the ancients knew intuitively. Studies using fMRI and EEG show that chanting AUM induces a really profound state of relaxation. How? By shifting brainwave patterns, moving away from those high-frequency stress-linked beta waves towards the calmer alpha and theta waves typical of meditation. Neuroimaging specifically shows AUM chanting activates key parts of the limbic system involved in emotional regulation, like the anterior cingulate cortex. And crucially, it decreases activity in the amygdala.
The brain's fear center, right?
Exactly. It essentially dampens the brain's alarm system. Physiologically, chanting AUM activates the parasympathetic nervous system, your rest and digest system. It slows the heart rate, stimulates the vagus nerve, which is huge for regulating inflammation and cardiovascular health. So you get this powerful integrated effect: reduced stress, better focus, more emotional stability, a holistic sense of well-being. It's truly an ancient technology for state modulation.
That's incredibly powerful. Knowing that ancient wisdom was intuitively tapping into these same fundamental pathways that modern science is now exploring with these tools, it really suggests it's not just about feeling calm mentally, but triggering deep physiological changes linked to long-term health. But there's a subtle difference, isn't there, between a chanted sound like OM and the specific engineered frequencies in your soundscapes? How does the State On Demand framework view that distinction?
That's a critical distinction, yes, and you're right to bring it up. It's not a contradiction in our framework, but more of a nuance we handle very carefully in the lab. Think about the audible pitch of a chanted om. It resonates around 432 hertz, which is a specific musical note, carrying its own cultural weight and sonic quality. However, when we design, say, an engineered deep sleep soundscape in our system, we might use a carrier frequency of 136.1 hertz for creating a binaural beat. This 136.1 hertz frequency itself is sometimes linked to the OM sound in certain contexts, providing a resonant bass. But the actual beat frequency, the pulse designed for brainwave entrainment, might be something very low, like 1.5 hertz, specifically targeting those deep delta waves for sleep.
Ah, so the carrier frequency is like the underlying tone, and the beat frequency is the rhythm doing the entrainment.
Exactly. This highlights the difference between the fundamental musical pitch of a sound, its note, its harmonics, and the specific, often very low frequency carrier tones or beat frequencies we choose for their precise psychoacoustic effects in driving entrainment. Both are powerful. The ancient chants offer this holistic, resonant experience. Our engineered soundscapes isolate and deliver specific frequencies to guide brainwaves with precision. Often we try to integrate elements of both. Using carrier frequencies that might resonate with those ancient pitches helps layer the experience. You get the direct entrainment and a deeply resonant, maybe even familiar, sonic texture. It's about combining the best of both worlds.
Okay, this is where it feels like the paper really brings it all together, that ancient wisdom meeting cutting-edge tech. The state-on-demand system, as you've described it, sounds incredibly precise. How does it actually move beyond the kind of generic sounds we hear everywhere to target such specific, nuanced states in our minds and bodies? That granularity seems key.
That's precisely the core innovation, the heart of the State On Demand framework. It is absolutely built upon a meticulous, multi-parametric architecture designed for targeted neural modulation with hopefully unparalleled precision. And the very first step, the foundation for any effective modulation, is starting with a clear, scientifically rigorous taxonomy of the states themselves. You simply can't tune something if you haven't precisely defined what you're aiming for.
Right, you need to know the target before you can hit it.
Exactly. So, to effectively modulate your psychophysiological state, we first have to define it rigorously. Our system targets 10 distinct states. Each one has a unique neurophysiological signature that we've researched specific brainwave patterns, autonomic responses, cognitive functions associated with it. We use intuitive names like deep relax or focus for ease of use, but we also have descriptive names clarifying the neurophysiological underpinnings. This creates a clear hierarchical taxonomy. So when we say deep relax, we mean something very specific neurologically. And a critical point often missed in simpler systems is the gradient within states. For instance, deep relax involves more pronounced theta activity, indicating profound meditation or that edge of sleep hypnagogic state, whereas relax is typically more alpha dominant, calm, but awake.
Subtle but important differences.
Very important. And that distinction is clearly articulated in our definitions and then mirrored precisely in how we design the soundscapes for each state. Let me give you a couple of examples from the paper just to illustrate this precision. For deep sleep, which we also term delta wave immersion, the focus is squarely on generating and reinforcing those slow delta waves, 0.5 to 4 hertz. The goal isn't just falling asleep, it's maximizing cellular repair, optimizing deep sleep quality for physical restoration, memory consolidation, really optimizing those restorative
Okay,
processes.
targeting the most restorative sleep phase.
Right. Now contrast that with, say, high focus, which we describe as sustained mental immersion. Here we're targeting higher frequency, high beta waves, specifically 18 to 30 hertz. The objective here is to help you achieve and sustain profound concentration for demanding tasks. Think intricate problem solving, deep analysis, maintaining attention for long stretches without burning out mentally.
So very different goals, very different brainwave targets.
Exactly. And the paper outlines all 10 states, from sleep right through to high energy, each with its own precise neurophysiological fingerprint. This systematic categorization is what then allows us to compose the soundscapes with almost surgical accuracy.
That level of detail is really impressive. It's clear this isn't just vague mood music. It's based on defined neurological targets. But, you know, for listeners, it might also sound incredibly complex. How do you, in the lab, make sure that such a rich library built on this precision doesn't become overwhelming for someone just trying to, say, sleep better or focus more? And how do you actually translate these specific brainwave targets into the sounds we hear? Your paper lists 12 core parameters. Could you walk us through maybe a few key ones that really show how this intricate orchestration works?
That's an excellent point, and it touches on the user experience design, which has to go hand in hand with the scientific rigor. While the underlying architecture is complex, the goal for the user interface is intuitive simplicity, allowing someone to select focus or deep sleep without needing a neuroscience degree. The complexity is under the hood, so to speak, not necessarily in the driver's seat. Now, about translating those desired states into actual audible experiences, yes, the orchestration of our soundscape is governed by the set of 12 primary parameters. Each one is meticulously defined. Each plays a crucial role in the overall psychophysiological effect. They are the fundamental building blocks, the composer's toolkit, allowing us to precisely tune your state. And you're right, some are less obvious in their impact than others. Let's dive into a few key ones that really highlight this intricate design dance. First, biomarker. This is our North Star for each soundscape. It's the target brainwave state or physiological marker we aim to influence. Mid-delta, low-alpha-theta, high-beta, whatever the goal is neurologically.
So that's the target state defined.
Correct. Then, pulse frequency. This is where the entrainment magic happens directly. It's the specific frequency, in hertz, of the binaural or isochronic beats designed to nudge your brain towards that target biomarker. So for deep sleep, maybe 1.5 hertz pulse to encourage delta.
Okay, the actual entrainment signal.
Yes. Then there's carrier frequency, often overlooked, but so important. These are the base pure tone frequencies used to create the binaural beat. They matter technically, but they can also be chosen for psychoacoustic associations, like maybe using that 136.1 hertz OM frequency as a carrier for deep relaxation, layering that ancient resonance onto modern science. The carrier frequency really affects the feel or texture of the beat, even if the pulse frequency is identical.
Interesting. Okay, what else?
Biophilia. This one is fundamental to our approach. It involves integrating authentic, specific, natural sound elements. Gentle leaves rustling, distant ocean waves, but chosen very carefully. This isn't just pleasant background noise. It leverages our deep, innate human connection to nature. It subtly signals safety, calm, restoration to the brain, making it more receptive to the entrainment frequencies and reducing stress. It's tapping into something hardwired in us.
Makes sense. Using nature signals.
Exactly. And harmony tonal characteristics. This is about the musical key or modality. For deep relaxation, we'd use extremely consonant, sustained chords, minimal changes, to minimize cognitive arousal, create a sense of openness for energy, maybe more dissonance, complex harmonies to stimulate.
Music theory meeting neuroscience.
Precisely. And related is tempo, rhythmic, and dynamic properties. Mm. The speed and BPM, the overall rhythmic character, absolutely crucial for rhythmic entrainment. Your internal rhythms, heart rate, breath naturally synchronize with external rhythms. Slow, steady tempo guides you towards calm. Fast, driving tempo elevates energy.
Right. The beat matters.
Immensely. And finally, let's touch on color. Now, this isn't strictly auditory, but it's in our framework as a conceptual bridge, an associated visual hue. It anticipates integrating the soundscape with potential multi-sensory experiences like synchronized light therapy. It's a placeholder for that integrated visual future.
Wow. Okay. 12 parameters.
Yes. And what's really key here isn't just the number, but the intentionality behind each one. It's less like composing music and more like designing a precise biological instruction set for the brain. The real challenge and the significance lies in meticulously balancing all these elements, making sure each parameter reinforces the desired state without introducing conflicting signals or unintended effects. It's an intricate craft.
That's an incredible depth of detail in the design. It really paints a picture of a vast, rich library, not just a few generic ambient tracks. So how does the state-on-demand system actually manage to create so many distinct yet effective variations for each of those 10 states? Going beyond just tweaking those core parameters you mentioned, it sounds like there's a really strong principle of specificity guiding this whole approach.
You've hit on a critical point again. It absolutely is about going beyond just those core parameters to incorporate an even more nuanced, more synergistic auditory palette. And yes, the core philosophy driving our entire design process is specificity. We are consciously moving away from generic ambient sounds, which have their place, don't get me wrong, towards precision-engineered psychophysiological interventions. Every single sonic element is chosen for its precise, intended impact.
Can you give an example of that specificity in action?
Sure. Consider something as seemingly simple as natural sound or biophilic elements. The psychoacoustic effect of a light drizzle is fundamentally distinct from a heavy downpour with thunder, right?
Definitely. One feels calming, the other maybe exciting or even a bit stressful.
Exactly. The light drizzle might be universally calming, great for focus or relaxation, signaling a gentle, nurturing environment. The downpour, though, could be energizing for some, maybe anxiety-inducing for others, putting the brain in a heightened state of alertness. So our granular approach means we choose these natural sounds very carefully to ensure each soundscape delivers a targeted, congruent auditory experience. We're leveraging your brain's hardwired responses to even subtle environmental cues. It's about surgical precision, not just broad strokes.
Okay, that makes sense. Choosing the right rain sound, not just any rain sound.
Precisely. And this commitment to specificity is really evident in what we call our composer's toolkit. It's essentially a detailed matrix of advanced sound influences, all meticulously tailored for each of the 10 target states. This is how we craft those novel and diverse variations. Let me give you a glimpse into this matrix for a couple of very different states, showing how these elements combine. For deep sleep, delta wave immersion, the biophilic elements would be profoundly calming, non-stimulating. Think gentle ocean surf, distant whale songs, the soft rhythmic drips in a cave, maybe the rustle of soft wind in pines, even a cat's purr, perhaps. Psychoacoustically, we'd apply precise delta, 0.53 hertz, binaural or isochronic beats, maybe a 1.5 hertz pulse, possibly using that 136.1 hertz OM carrier. We combine this with low rumbling brown or gray noise, maybe subtle ASMR triggers like soft brushing sounds instrumentally, deep resonant sounds, bass flutes, sustained cello drones, Tibetan singing bowls, very soft evolving synth pads harmonically. Extremely consonant, sustained chords, usually minor keys like D minor, minimal harmonic movement to avoid waking the brain up. Rhythms would be very slow, flowing, maybe drone-based, all guiding towards profound rest.
Okay, very calming, very deep. Now, contrast that with high energy.
Big contrast. For high energy, intense drive, the biophilic palette shifts dramatically. Power. Think the immediate roar of powerful waterfalls, the sound of a forest in a high windstorm, maybe even process volcanic rumbling. Sounds that evoke energy and stimulation. Psychoacoustically, high gamma, 45 hertz beats, white or blue noise for brightness, other effects engineered to enhance perceived loudness and intensity. Instrumentally, bold choices, distorted electric guitars, aggressive synth basses, powerful drums with sharp hits, intense sound effects. Harmonically, power chords, major keys but with added tension like a sharp nine chord, maybe intense scales like Phrygian dominant. Melodically, fast, driving motifs, sharp attacks, complex syncopated rhythms or strong, relentless beats. Tempo, way up, maybe 170, 180 BPM or even higher. Everything pushes towards activation.
Wow, that contrast really drives home the intentionality. It's not just moods, it's crafting specific neurological experiences. But this raises an important question for me, reading through the paper. How do all these different elements actually work together? Is it just adding things up? Or is there something more like a synergistic effect where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts?
That's a crucial question, and the answer is absolutely synergy. That's the core principle. The combination of these carefully chosen auditory elements creates effects that are significantly more potent than any single component could achieve in isolation. It's truly a synergistic interaction. Each element amplifies and reinforces the others, guiding you more effectively into the target state. Think of it like a perfectly composed meal. The flavors, textures, aromas all work together to create something far richer than just eating the ingredients separately.
Can you give an example of that synergy?
Sure. Let's go back to that deep sleep soundscape. The gentle, repetitive rhythm of the gentle ocean surf, it's not just pleasant background noise. It leverages something called stress recovery theory. It actively calms your nervous system, downregulates that fight or flight response. This makes your brain much more receptive to the entrainment effects of the 1.5 hertz delta binaural beat we've embedded. Then, the harmonically stable D minor drone further minimizes cognitive stimulation, letting the mind drift naturally. The soft timbre of a bass flute reduces mental chatter. See how each component isn't just doing its own thing. It's preparing the ground, enhancing the effectiveness of the other components. They work in concert, creating a much more immersive and effective pathway to deep rest than just the beat or the drone alone.
That's a powerful idea. It really elevates the design. And with so many variables, how do you actually manage to generate that rich library? The paper mentions 100 variations, 10 for each state. It sounds like you need a system to ensure they're meaningfully different and don't just cause auditory fatigue.
Indeed, a systematic approach is essential. You can't just randomly combine things. To provide that library of 100 soundscape variations, we use a structured generation method. This ensures meaningful distinction between the variations for a given state, and it helps prevent that auditory fatigue you mentioned, which is a real issue if things start sounding too similar. We categorize our variations based on which primary sound category is being emphasized. First, we create biophilic focus variations, usually 3 or 4 per state. These primarily alter the natural sound elements. So for deep sleep, one might feature gentle cave drips for that enclosed, ancient feeling, while another uses distant whale songs for a vast oceanic calm. Same delta entrainment, different natural vibe.
Okay, varying the nature sounds.
Right. Then we have psychoacoustic focus variations, again, 3 or 4. These emphasize changes in the core entrainment signals or background noise. Maybe we slightly adjust the binaural beat pulse frequency, say 1.8 hertz delta versus 2.2 hertz delta, or we change the noise color from brown to gray, or we introduce specific ASMR triggers known to evoke responses in some people, small tweaks to the core signals.
Modifying the technical psychoacoustic bits.
Exactly. Next, musical focus variations, another 3 or 4. These explore different instrumentation, bass flute versus cello drone for deep sleep, or different harmonic languages, maybe D minor versus A minor, or different melodic styles while always staying within the psychoacoustic boundaries needed for that state. The music supports the goal.
Changing the musical elements.
Correct. And finally, the remaining variations are hybrid variations. These creatively combine distinct elements from all those domains, biophilic, psychoacoustic, musical, to create truly unique soundscapes. This maximizes that combinatorial power. So this layered approach allows us to offer both consistency in the effect, getting you to deep sleep, and diversity in the experience, how it sounds and feels getting there.
So listening to all this, it feels like it's not just about having a single soundscape for a specific moment. The underlying idea in the paper seems much bigger, integrating this throughout your entire day, almost like creating a 24-hour soundtrack for your life, continuously supporting whatever state you need. How does the system achieve that? That deep integration with our natural biological rhythms, it points towards a really profound alignment with something called human chronobiology.
Precisely. You've grasped a core concept there. The state-on-demand system isn't designed as just an isolated tool you use now and then. It's really conceived as an integrated system for managing your entire 24-hour biological cycle. And that requires a deep, sophisticated alignment of these soundscapes with human chronobiology, your intrinsic circadian rhythms, those roughly 24-hour cycles, and also your ultradian rhythms, those shorter cycles recurring throughout the day. These govern almost everything, your physiology, your cognition, your mood. This chronobiological integration is absolutely paramount. We have to recognize that our internal states aren't static. They're dynamic, constantly ebbing and flowing throughout the day and night.
So it's about working with those natural cycles, not against them.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this transforms the system from just being a state-switching tool into potentially being a powerful zeitgeber.
Zeitgeber. Sure kind of word.
Yes, it means time giver. Think of things in nature that give our bodies time cues, sunrise, sunset, temperature changes, even meal times. These natural zeitgebers help synchronize our internal biological clocks. But the modern world, unfortunately, disconnects us from many of these natural cues. Artificial light, irregular schedules, it disrupts our clocks. So our system aims to help by allowing you to create a personalized, dynamic, 24-hour auditory schedule. This schedule acts as a consistent artificial zeitkeeper. Over the long term, this consistent auditory guidance can help re-regulate your fundamental circadian rhythm, which in turn improves sleep-wake cycles, optimizes hormone balance, enhances mood, boosts overall health. It's about using sound as a primary synchronizing agent to restore your innate biological timing.
That's a really powerful concept, sound as a time giver for our own biology.
Mm.
So how do you actually implement this within the system? The paper mentions the playlist functionality. How does that enable the strategic sequencing and ensure smooth transitions throughout the day, keeping it congruent with our natural rhythms?
Right. The playlist functionality is the key interface for this chronobiological management. But it's not like a static music playlist. Think of it more as a dynamic, intelligently sequenced flow. It allows for the strategic ordering of specific sounds. Exactly. Conversely, if you are already alert and needed to sustain deep work, maybe a focus variation B with higher beta frequencies and more neutral biophilia like filtered distant city hum might be better suited for that peak performance window. The design aims for optimal transition pathways between states, and this extends across the whole day. So evening soundscapes are meticulously designed to gradually decrease in complexity, tempo, and beat frequency, mirroring your body's natural wind-down process, preparing you gently for sleep.
That idea of designing for smooth transition seems critical. I can imagine how jarring it would be to just jump from a super calm soundscape to an intense focus one. What are the actual principles behind making those transitions seamless?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Abrupt changes would be counterproductive, likely kicking you right out of the desired state. So, to ensure smooth, effective transitions, our system adheres to several key psychoacoustic principles we've developed. First, gradual parameter shifts. This is fundamental. Sudden jumps in tempo, loudness, harmonic complexity, or the dominant entrainment frequencies are jarring to the nervous system. So all our transitions involve carefully engineered, gradual crossfades, or subtle stepwise adjustments in these parameters. The goal is for the shift to be almost imperceptible, like watching a slow sunset rather than flipping a light switch.
Okay, slow and steady changes.
Right. Second, harmonic congruence. When moving between soundscapes that have musical elements, which many do, selecting variations that are in harmonically related keys or modes is really important. For instance, transitioning from a soundscape in C major to one in G major feels natural and smooth musically. It avoids unexpected shifts that could create cognitive dissonance and pull you out of flow or relaxation. The harmonic journey needs to feel connected.
Makes sense musically.
Third, tempo synchronization. Either aligning the tempo of the outgoing soundscape with the incoming one, or implementing a gradual tempo ramp up or down is crucial for easing the shift in rhythmic entrainment. Your brain really locks onto rhythm, so a smooth transition in tempo prevents jarring changes and allows for continuous synchronization.
Keep the rhythm flowing smoothly.
Precisely. And finally, we can use sonic bridges. These are short, relatively neutral, transitional soundscapes, maybe 1 to 5 minutes long, strategically placed between distinct state blocks. They might consist of simple noise colors, like pink noise, or very minimalist ambient textures. They effectively act like a palate cleanser for your ears, providing a brief neutral zone before the next targeted, state-specific soundscape begins. It helps reset expectations and prepare for the next state.
Okay, this all sounds incredibly sophisticated, potentially really effective. But the title of the paper and our intro specifically mentioned AI, artificial intelligence. How does AI take this whole concept of personalized soundscapes to the next level, the hyper-personalized level? Mm-hmm. This feels like where the truly groundbreaking aspect of the state-on-demand vision lies.
Okay, let's unpack this, because you're right. This is where the vision truly reaches its ultimate realization. The future we're actively working towards involves AI-driven hyper-personalization and generative soundscapes. This represents the technological pinnacle of the framework. Moving beyond a pre-designed library, however large, towards a truly responsive, co-creative auditory experience that constantly adapts to you moment by moment.
Why is that adaptation so crucial? Why not just have a really big library?
Well, a key argument for an adaptive system comes from understanding the limitations of any static, one-size-fits-all approach, even our highly varied ones. Consider, for instance, a study mentioned in the background research by Tayod and colleagues. They looked at short-term, structured OM chanting and its effect on EEG microstates. While they did find distinct brain activity during the chanting, they found no statistically significant difference in the overall EEG microstate patterns between baseline and these short-term sessions. Now, this doesn't mean OM chanting doesn't work millennia of practice, and other studies suggest it does. What it highlights is that often longer, less rigidly time-structured, and crucially personalized practice is needed to induce significant, lasting neurophysiological changes. A static, precomposed intervention, no matter how well designed, just can't easily accommodate those dynamic individual needs and responses over time. And that's precisely where an adaptive system powered by AI becomes not just beneficial, but really essential for maximizing efficacy.
Okay, so static isn't enough for truly deep, personalized change.
Exactly. So the future vision for State on Demand is this closed-loop biofeedback system. Imagine AI acting as your personal, real-time conductor. This AI doesn't just pick a track from a library. It continuously composes and synthesizes hyper-personalized audio environments that evolve with you in real time based on your biological signals. This is a fundamental paradigm shift. Your own biology, through real-time data, actively pulls a unique, perfectly matched soundscape into existence. Your body literally becomes the co-composer of your auditory environment. It fosters this deep, symbiotic relationship between your internal state and the technology, a living, breathing sound environment responding to your subtlest shifts.
That's a really mind-bending concept. I know biology as a co-composer. Wow. So what kind of data actually feeds this sophisticated AI conductor? What are the inputs that allow it to be so dynamic and responsive to my unique state right now?
Yeah, it requires a rich and diverse stream of data. We can categorize it into two main types, dynamic and static inputs. First, there's the dynamic biometric data. This is your real-time physiological data streamed directly from advanced sensors. Things like electroencephalography, EEG devices, maybe headbands or earbuds provide direct high-resolution insights into your brainwave activity. That lets the AI monitor your neural state second by second. Complementing that, readily available consumer wearables, your Oura Ring, Fitbit, Apple Watch, Android Wear, etc., offer continuous data on crucial markers. Heart rate variability, HRV, a key indicator of your nervous system balance, detailed sleep patterns, including different sleep stages, your activity levels, and electrodermal activity, which reflects your physiological arousal and emotional state. This constant stream gives the AI a comprehensive, up-to-the-minute picture of your internal world.
Okay, so real-time body signals. What about the static stuff?
Right. Second, we integrate static user inputs. This is foundational information usually gathered when you first start using the system, maybe through surveys or questionnaires. It includes things like personality assessments, maybe your big five traits, which can influence how you respond to different stimuli. We capture your stated sound and music preferences. This is crucial to ensure the generated soundscapes are not only effective neurophysiologically, but also aesthetically pleasing and enjoyable for you.
Makes sense. You have to actually like listening to it.
Exactly. We also consider your long-term wellness goals. Are you aiming for stress reduction, peak cognitive performance, better sleep, longevity? And critically, we factor in your chronotype. Are you naturally a morning lark or a night owl? Understanding your inherent biological rhythm helps the AI tailor interventions that align with your natural predispositions rather than fighting against them.
Okay, so it learns about your body and your preferences.
Precisely. By combining these comprehensive data streams, the real-time biometrics and the foundational user profile, the AI algorithms, can then dynamically adjust all those soundscape parameters we discussed earlier in real time. Tempo, harmony, instrumentation, the specific binaural beat frequency, the biophilic elements, the noise colors, everything becomes fluid. So, for instance, if the real-time EEG shows you're struggling to drop into deep sleep, the system could automatically seamlessly transition to a deep sleep variation that it's learned is more potent for your specific biometrics. Maybe by subtly lowering the delta frequency or swapping the ocean waves for cave drips if that works better for you. This adaptive capability transforms the system into a truly personalized, responsive tool for state management. It fulfills that on-demand promise with a level of precision and efficacy that static approaches just can't match. It's a living system, co-creating with you.
So yeah, definitely not just a fancy playlist picker. It's a living, breathing sound environment that's continuously adapting and evolving based on my unique neurophysiology at that very moment. That's a massive leap from just choosing sleep sounds on a streaming app, a dynamic dialogue between biology and intelligent sound. You know, earlier when we were going through those 12 core parameters, you mentioned color, that associated visual hue, hinting at future possibilities beyond just sound. Does this whole state-on-demand vision really extend further? Are we potentially talking about a complete sensory immersion experience, moving towards a truly holistic approach to managing our state?
What's fascinating here is, yes, absolutely. Our framework explicitly identifies multisensory integration as a crucial direction for future research and development. We fundamentally understand that human experience is inherently multisensory. Your brain doesn't process sound or sight or smell in neat little isolated boxes. It continuously synthesizes inputs from all your senses to construct your coherent, rich perception of reality. So by engaging multiple sensory channels, sound, sight, maybe others down the line, in a synchronized, synergistic way, the system could create even more immersive, more potent, and potentially more durable shifts in your psychophysiological state. The goal is an environment that envelops you more completely, reinforcing the desired state across multiple senses.
And light seems like the most immediate next step based on that color parameter.
Exactly. The color parameter, as it's detailed in the paper, is precisely that conceptual bridge for visual integration. It's described literally as an associated visual hue integrating the soundscape with potential multisensory experiences like synchronized light therapy. So the system is already conceived architecturally to link its auditory soundscapes to corresponding visual aesthetics. Imagine, for instance, a deeply relaxing soundscape engineered for alpha brainwaves. It could be seamlessly paired with soft, warm, ambient light, maybe a gentle amber glow or a muted pink, to visually enhance that feeling of calm. Conversely, an energizing gamma wave soundscape for peak performance might be synchronized with brighter, more dynamic lighting, maybe cool blues, focused whites, to promote alertness visually as well as auditorily.
So using synchronized light therapy directly?
That's a direct and powerful application, yes. We know light, its color, its intensity profoundly influences mood, alertness, and crucially, our circadian rhythms, all things that are integral to the chronobiological aspect of our soundscapes anyway. So by harmonizing the visual environment with the auditory one, the system could achieve several significant enhancements. It could deepen immersion and presence. A congruent visual experience makes you feel much more fully enveloped, transported into that designed state.
Makes sense. More immersive.
Right. It could also reinforce state induction. Visual cues can act as powerful reinforcing signals, potentially accelerating brainwave entrainment and making the state shift faster or more effective. Specific blue light for alertness, warmer, dimmer light for relaxation, etc. And critically, it allows for even deeper personalization. Just like the soundscape, the choice of visual hues could be hyper-personalized based on your preferences, your chronotype, and that real-time biofeedback. An AI system could dynamically adjust both the sound parameters and the light frequencies or colors in real time, responding to your biometric data to optimally guide you.
Wow, so the AI is conducting both the sound and the light show based on me.
That's the vision. And having that color parameter already in the framework shows the groundwork for this visual integration is already embedded. It paves the way for AI to manage both sound and light dynamically. Now, just for clarity, it's important to note, while visual integration via light is explicitly mentioned and conceptually integrated in Prem Sanjeet's paper, the provided research does not contain any information about integrating other senses, like olfactory stimuli smell. Smell certainly has powerful links to emotion and memory, but it's simply not discussed in these specific sources as part of the current state-on-demand framework or immediate future research. The immediate focus is really on that powerful synergy between sound and light.
Okay, understood. So the vision is truly holistic, starting with sound, moving towards integrating light, creating this continuously adapting, evolving, multi-sensory environment to guide and optimize our states. It's like creating a personalized, immersive reality bubble designed purely for your well-being, where everything works together. Right, so let's try and wrap this up. What does this all mean? For us, the listeners, thinking about our own well-being, our own state management, we've journeyed today from understanding that fundamental ear-brain connection, looking back at the ancient wisdom of mantras, then through the really meticulous multi-parameter design of this state-on-demand system, all the way to this future vision where AI acts as a conductor, orchestrating continuously evolving, hyper-personalized, maybe even multisensory soundscape for your entire day. It feels like it's fundamentally about restoring balance, isn't it? Enhancing how our minds work and consciously cultivating the internal states we actually desire, rather than just being reactive to everything life throws at us. This deep dive into Prem Sanjeet's work at the state-on-demand R&D lab, it really showcases what feels like a truly pioneering tool for personalized wellness. More than just a fix for modern problems, maybe it's the next chapter in how humans relate to sound as a tool for shaping our own consciousness, our own existence.
Indeed. I think that's a great summary. The integrated approach of this deep technology, combining that precision sound design, the chronobiological alignment, and then layering on AI adaptation and multisensory potential, it really does promise to unlock new insights and enhance human well-being with unprecedented precision and richness. It underscores a future where our internal states aren't just things that happen to us, but states we can consciously cultivate, manage, optimize through the enchanting, but also precisely calibrated power of sound and potentially light. It's a shift, really, from passively experiencing your internal world to actively, intelligently composing your optimal self. So here's a thought to leave you with. Imagine a world where your own biology genuinely becomes the co-composer of your reality, continuously tuning you back towards your optimal self, not just for a fleeting moment, but throughout every cycle of your day and night. What new possibilities for your health, for your performance, for your flourishing, maybe even for self-discovery? What new possibilities would that open up for you?
Something truly profound to chew on, right? That's all for this deep dive. Thank you so much for joining us on this exploration of AI-driven soundscapes. We hope you feel a little more well-informed and maybe, a little inspired by the incredible potential that lies ahead in tuning into our own rhythms.